flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
A lot of big stories going on, actually, here in South Florida, starting with the Tyreek Hill story at the end. Crazy, I got to tell you, the end of that whole thing and the meeting with the head coach and the general manager with the media. I don't know about you, Alex. I haven't had a chance to talk to you. I know it's old news, but whole thing was strange. And the number one topic was guys being late for meetings and showing up late, and guys, the practice thing and all that stuff. It's just kind of weird. And he goes, yeah, I didn't know you guys knew, but since the guys told you about it, yeah, I had a meeting about it, and I said that we can't do it anymore. That's it. No more. Fines apparently aren't enough. I find that all these guys, same guys kept doing it. And I couldn't help, just me, going, the president of the club's Tyreek Hill. All this stuff, the quitting in the fourth quarter. Did you think that was kind of weird, though, the way the thing? And by the way, they're both back, general manager, head coach, both back. Owner comes out right after the game. The press release was ready to go. They'll be back. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of my big takeaways on it. It does sound like Hill behind the scenes is very influential with his teammates in ways that may not always be positive. And then the other part of it, Joe, and I know that, listen, when Mike McDaniel first got the head coaching job, a lot of the concerns people had was, you know, he seems like such a nice guy. Is he too nice? Is he too new school? Is he a little bit of a pushover? I mean, Joe, maybe there is something to a lot of that, because, I mean, to me, if you can't run a tight enough ship, and I get it, these players are professionals. They're making millions of dollars. It's not that easy to corral all these guys. But, I mean, you have to be able to do it, Joe. I mean, it's historically, if you're going to be able to have a well-run, disciplined football team, which is important for everybody, you have to set that example that being late to meetings and being late to team functions. I mean, you played for Shula. You know this better.
That's a bad example.
True.
Yeah. No, everybody knows.
Yes, but you have to. I mean, if you're not 5-10 minutes early, you're late for a meeting. I mean, that's the culture that winners historically have in this sport. And if you're unable to enforce that and instill that mentality, right. I mean, at this point, I mean, this coaching regime has been here for what, 3 years? And if they haven't been able to enforce that yet, why should I believe that in year four, something's suddenly going to change?
And I get it. I do understand. Times have changed. When a guy's good, you put up a lot more. There's no question about it. This has been going on a long time. Goes on in a workplace, a lot of different places. If you're really good at what you do, you get the benefit of the doubt and sometimes get treated differently, right? The better you are. We got Todd Greck here. Todd doesn't show up to meetings here when they show up on Tuesday and Thursday. I mean, you know, and Todd's really good. He sells a lot, so. I just want to see your face.
Oh, oh. He's the Tyreek Hill of the back office.
I can hear Todd going, really? You got to throw me in this thing?
You
really had to throw me in. So the thing is with him, I don't want to get rid of Tyreek. I don't.
No.
But look, at first of all, he would never be my team captain. Sometimes guys can be really good, but you can't. You know, you're talking about leadership, all those things. You got to have guys that walk it and talk it. They got to be a combination of your best players, and they got to do all the right things every day. every day, especially at camp. I don't care what they do on social media. I really don't. If they want to, their kids want to flip people off and all that, I don't care about that. It's a bad look for them, but if they want to do that kind of stuff, that's one thing. But you got to show up, do the right thing, be on time. You can't have captains coming in late. So that would do it for that. But, hey, listen, man, I'm guessing he's still your best receiver. And his numbers were down a lot, way down from what he's done the first 2 years here. But, and you can be high maintenance. Hell, half the receivers in the league, they're really good, are high maintenance, right? We got guys doing different things and stuff, but you got to play by the book. And Mike said something best thing Mike said is it just tells me you don't want to be here if you're always late, if you're one of the chronic ones. And Tyreek's one of them, man. Like, ain't nobody calling me from the Dolphins going, you got the wrong guy, Joe. And you know, a couple other, they got rid of one problem. I thought they kept him way too long, Odell Beckham. I mean, it had turd. It had a bad smell. It looked like something was dumped on my yard a couple of days ago. And it had a bad smell. It was too close to the door. And that was Odell Beckham. Should have been long gone. And the shocker of all is Wes Welker being gone. All of a sudden, I guess.
When I saw that, I could understand the special teams coach. But when I saw Wes Welker, I'm thinking, what do they know that I don't?
Like, oh, it was Wes Welker's fault. It was Wes Welker's fault that Waddle and Hill didn't have 3,000 yards or close to 3,000 yards in pass catches. So, it was all him. I'd love to see that one. Like, Mike and Wes been together. Like, Wes left with him, said, all right, let's do it. I believe in you. And he dumps him. And I'm thinking, you think that's the problem? You think Wes Welker's the problem? Let me see you coach that room. Hell, you're the guy. Your guy has final say. Wes could have done more. You didn't want him to because you want things done a certain way. Anyway, I'm going to get over that. That one's a little, that's my boy. So that one, I'm being honest. Like, I'm a huge Wes fan, and I saw some of what he went through this year, and I was like, wow. I don't know what you're supposed to do. The warm-up show that we saw turned into social media. It was for social media only, not for winning games. Some of the entertainment of who can make the coolest catch in warm-ups. That was a classic too. Anyway, we'll find out. New receiver coach will come in here, and I don't know.
Hey, Joe, I'm hoping
we'll kill him with kindness, brother.
Yeah, I'm hoping they hire Brian Hartline to be the new receivers coach. Get him out of Ohio State, and then maybe Jeremiah Smith will transfer from Ohio State to Miami because he loves Hartline, and we'll solve all of our problems with one hire. Bring Hartline back to the Dolphins.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't realize for some reason Brian Hartline is. Big part of what they do, including considered to be one of the best recruiting guys in the country, who was a wide receiver, a damn good one here. And I don't know, as a coordinator thing was really weird. He was given the coordinator job, and then the head coach from UCLA quits his job to come and do it. Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, creative, fun, and obviously super talented. So together they're working, and I'm guessing Brian's making probably a lot of friggin' money there. The Jeremiah Smith. So I don't know if you heard what I said before I left. I said Jeremiah Smith is the best I've ever seen from senior year, the jump to what he did as a true freshman. I've never seen that kind of jump from an athlete we've had here in high school. It's the greatest jump I've ever seen. Now, I've had some others throw some Lamar Jackson at me, which is fine. Nobody makes that jump. You've heard everybody say he's the best wide receiver in the country as a true freshman. I mean, not me. I see they got three or four wide receivers going to go in all the mock drafts in the first round. If they had a chance to get him, they would take him. First overall as a wide receiver. Have you ever seen a guy? I saw him play in high school. I don't know if you had a chance to see. I went to the Chaminade Central game or Chaminade Northwestern game. I can't remember which one at Trask Powell his senior year, and he made two or three one-handed catches that with Nat Moore. We were doing a promotion out there for the Nat Moore Award. And I'm thinking, this guy is a different level. And then he just takes it right down. That third down and 11 runs by the guy. I mean, runs by the guy from Notre Dame. No help over the top. And he is something else. 6'3", 220, runs like that. Incredible. Have you ever seen anybody that good come out of here? We got some great ones leave here now that were that good in year one. I didn't say year two or three.
In year one, I don't think so. Because like the guy that I get vibes of when I'm watching Jeremiah Smith, he reminds me a lot of Andre Johnson. But for Andre, it was like it was the second year in Miami.
That's correct.
When he really broke through. It wasn't the first year.
I believe it was Reggie Wayne. Yeah. Reggie Wayne and Moss were Santana Moss were playing ahead of him at the Sugar Bowl, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
I might be off.
No, you're exactly right. It was the second year when Johnson
then
broke
he exploded.
Out.
Yeah. Freakish.
And I'm not surprised that Jeremiah did this because, you know, everything that you saw from him and heard about him was this is a generational talent, and he physically was ready to be an immediate impact guy at the college level. And, you know, you mentioned it, Joe, like the rules prevent him from being drafted now. He's actually got to play two more years in college before he can even be drafted. But he would be right now. He'd be the top receiver taken if he were to leave today, if he could.
Well, I'll tell you what. How many Canes fans? JoJo's here, his teammate and friend. How many JoJo Trader? Can you imagine that? The one guy on one side went on the other. That's what happened at Chaminade Madonna, if you're wondering what it looked like. So can you imagine? I was thinking it. Now, I'm not starting it because I'd be happy where I am if I'm – he's the go-to guy at Ohio State.
Yeah.
What if – he got the itch to go. I got my championship. I got my numbers. I want to go home. Now, I probably not going to happen, but they need a big horse. And you pay him like a big horse coming home. There's no question about it. All right, that's all I'm saying. And by the way, that's how you get stuff started, right? That's how we pick up the podcast, right? Right there, get it rolling. Yeah. By the way, your podcast is fantastic.
It'll be my next episode of Locked On Canes right here. Joe Rose says Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah, don't do that. The first call I get, Brian Hartline calls me and says, really? Hartline's down here. Hartline's down here. He said, come on, man. You got a receiver from American Heritage Plantation you took from five-star down here. Now you got this guy. Come on, man. Jeez, let me have a little fun.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Talk a little bit about all the news. My God, the National Football League, man. Just spits out news daily, doesn't it? And the latest, we got a couple of new coaches over the last couple days as it looks like the Lions have lost their OC and DC, Aaron Glenn to the Jets, Ben Johnson to the Bears. And so Aaron Glenn goes back to the Jets, by the way. He's a first-round pick back in 1994. Had a hell of a career, too. 41 interceptions in his long career. It looks like, Alex, it looks like everybody is turning down the Jacksonville job at this point.
Yeah.
And so much for Trevor Lawrence. And he's probably been, for me, one of the biggest disappointments of quarterbacks. I know we talk about our guy down here who can't stay healthy. I tell you, he's right up there. And he makes some throws at times. You see it and you go, wow, he looks great. And then at times he looks like, He has no idea where it's going. What's your take on Trevor Lawrence?
I think he's been a flop, Joe. And, you know, I know that the situations in Jacksonville haven't always been great, but, you know, a couple of years ago, they seemed like they had a team that could do something. And it coming out of Clemson, I mean, he, you know, I don't think he was maybe as highly rated of a prospect as Joe Burrow was, you know, prior. Obviously, Burrow has panned out, but Trevor Lawrence, this kid looked generational, Joe. I mean, when he was doing what he was doing in Clemson and, you know, really helping Dabo Sweeney, you know, win those titles over there. I thought that this guy would come into the league and he would have, you know, the sort of impact that, you know, the other greats have had from those draft classes, do the types of things that, you know, Joe Burrow did getting to a Super Bowl early in his career. I think now you have to face the music and realize Jacksonville doesn't have the guy they thought they had.
Well, they dumped their GM. The whole thing's been weird. He just gets fired late. Like, they must have thought nobody wants to coach because he's a GM, so they let him go. And trying to find a guy. That thing just looks like a mess. But, boy, if there's been a guy, if we could all be honest in the media, all of us, and not be fraudulent like a lot of us are. I'm a part-time fraud myself. We'd all admit that we were wrong about Trevor Lawrence. I thought he was going to be really, really good. I thought he was going to be Joe Burrow. I did. Because I think Joe Burrow's, I don't care whether in the playoffs or not, I think he's a top five quarterback in the league. But, I was wrong. I was wrong. And, you know, I heard about the system, and the year with Urban's a waste because he was horrible. So you can't go there, but come on, man. You've had a few now without him, and it just hasn't looked good. He got the new contract, got paid like a VIP. He got paid in the VIP club, and just not. Saw him make a couple of great throws against the Dolphins to start the season. He had the big lead, and then at the end made a lot of bad throws, just along with all the other problems they had on the Dolphins' comeback in that game in the fourth quarter. But and then, hey, listen, we haven't talked about the situation here. And the backup quarterback, obviously, the Skyler, nothing else has to be said. They let him go. I mean, he's on another team. Like, Skyler Thompson, that deal is, you know, they can tell us, oh, we still like him, and I'm listening to our GM, like, you know, save face comments. And I'm like, look it. That thing was great. That preseason was great. That first preseason, we thought we had Brock Purdy. We did. I remember that. Oh, we got to hold on to him.
He was drafted ahead of Brock Purdy same draft.
The league loved him, and they were going to pick him up, so they had to put him on the 53, and he's our backup. We whiffed on that one. We absolutely bad read, bad everything, as you saw Tyler Huntley come in and be the backup quarterback. So now you got a whole bunch of draft picks. 10, when you look at the compensatory picks that are coming our way and should be in good shape there. Would have been even better if Christian Wilkins would have played and didn't go into IR early on. But, this thing, I have no high expectations. My expectations are done. I think you hit something right on the head, though. There's going to be urgency for some guys to do whatever it takes to make sure, even if it takes away from the future a little bit, to try to load this thing up again with what you have. And they're hoping some guys come back from injury and will be ready for the start of the season and not during the season. And go from there. Probably going to have a lot of those draft picks play. You can't cover it up with old veteran free agents. You just can't. You've got to do what everybody else in the league is doing, especially good teams. You throw those guys in. And by the way, we did with Chop Robinson. He ended up playing great. I was wrong about Chop. I'm always worried about guys who don't put up big numbers in college. I don't know about you, but I want to see guy do it at the highest level and do it in college. And Chop didn't do it.
I was very concerned about Chop.
I was too.
And I think seeing Chop play so well is maybe one of the things that helped Chris Greer preserve his job, because he's definitely, over the last couple of years, he has had some draft picks that have worked out, with Chop being a prime example of that.
So Chop had something that you don't know till you get him. He wanted to be really good. He didn't get down when he got blocked early in the year, and he wasn't doing much to start. And you find out he's with Calais Campbell and Teron Armstead every day, and he wants to be great. He wants to know, what do you see? Well, you got that one move. And by the way, they've already said, hey, the one move, you got through your first year, but now you got to add more besides that speed rush. As quick off the ball as anybody in the league. He is that fast off the corner. And if you're a split second, he'll beat you, and he's low. He's a low target to block because he's real low to the ground, kind of Cam Wake-ish the way, minus, you know, about 100 sacks, but he wanted it in his heart, and so that's a great read on that one. But you've got to get some more of those guys that can come in and you can line up and they can play. And we're counting on a left tackle now that he's got to play. Didn't play great, by the way. This thing about he's shown some signs, but let's not put him on the we hit on our left tackle. They're hoping they hit on their left tackle. I mean, we're going to be honest about this thing and got to see more of it. By the way, Teron Armstead ended up playing a lot more football than anybody thought last year.
Yeah.
He didn't practice much, but all we cared about, and honestly, probably – played as well as anybody that didn't practice all year I've ever seen. I've always been amazed last year, the last 2 years, on how well he could play without practicing. A lot of guys can't do that.
Well, was he showing up to the meetings on time? Maybe that was the key.
I don't think he was a problem on that. I think he was pretty good about it. Nobody ever said, you know, and it's funny because the O-line, those guys came out and said, hey, we want to let everybody know with this problem we have on the team, it ain't in the O-line. It's not an O-line problem. I noticed some of the guys when they were talking about who was tardy and who was getting fined a lot, and certain groups are going, it's not in our group, because you got a lot of individual meetings, like linebackers meet together and the defensive line. No. O-line, we don't have that problem down here, man. No. We leave us out. You can probably guess which room has the biggest problem. That's probably pretty easy to do. The wide receiver room probably is. And again, that's not Wes Welker. What do you want Wes Welker to do as position coach? That guy. That's a head coach. That's a GM head coach. Has to have those meetings. When a guy's constantly late or doesn't show up or shows up a little late for a game, when you tell them they got to be there mandatory certain amount of time before the game and they come 30 minutes later than they're supposed to, which, I mean, the average fan doesn't see that. Those guys know how long it takes to, but you have a rule. You want guys to show up. By the way, I always crack up, man. All these sports, they don't have a lot of rules. Play hard.
Yeah.
And show up on time. There's really not a lot. If you're hurt, you got to show up on time for your treatment. If you can't practice or you know. But it's not like they got a zillion friggin' rules. You know, I mean, my guys slept in meetings, but they didn't make mental mistakes. We had some sleepers. Don't get me wrong. We had some guys stay out late that had to catch up on some sleep early in the before practice. You know, get a little nap in there before we went out and practice. But
Where was it? Was it Club Inferno where you guys used to go?
That was one. Boy, you made Nat Moore. I don't know if Nat's up yet, but that you made Nat Moore happy right there mentioning the Inferno. Yeah, Nat had some clubs. He had some clubs back then.
Oh, did he own that?
He owned part of those clubs.
Oh, wow.
He owned the important part, the part that made the money he owned.
Oh, that's the way to do it. Speaking of money, if I, in any situation, if I show up late to something and you find me, the first time would be the last time. I would never show up late again if it's costing me money.
I think the average fan gets that. Like, yeah, need to be there. Yeah, you need to be there. And if it's traffic, then your ass needs to leave a little bit earlier. That's part of the deal, too. That, right? If there's traffic, you got to leave a little earlier if you got to come from Fort Lauderdale to Miami. Yeah, that's kind of the way this thing works. All right, we got to go to break here. We're all over the place today, and Got a lot. I haven't even touched the baseball stuff. Woody's got me so down, I'm afraid to talk baseball because he hits me with nobody cares with the baseball thing. How about that Dodgers six-man
rotation? Baseball news. You're going to have to enlighten me on that. I'm with Woody on this.
So the Dodgers, now listen, you got to understand, I've been with a 91-year-old man out in California, and we watch MLB Network because that's his thing is baseball.
Okay.
So I'm sitting there with him. Three of the top Japanese pitchers will be in a six-man rotation with the Dodgers, who just spent, they got another top Japanese pitcher come over. They had one from a year ago, and Ohtani's back, who I would never let. He'd never pitch for me. Too good a bat. I'm not letting him blow out his arm and, you know, have a chance to blow out his arm again. That's not going to happen. But that team, that thing's loaded. So everybody's getting on the Dodgers about loading up this team. It's not right because the amount of money they're spending, like the Mets, spend a lot of money. And, you know, now the Japanese players all want to play together with Ohtani in L.A., the top guys. And they're going, the problem is teams like, the problem is not the Dodgers and teams that are trying to win to put out a good product. They're going, the problem is the teams that continue to only worry about their minor league system aren't spending any money, like the Marlins. That's the problem.
Marlins have spent $0, Joe. Zero.
That's incredible.
Do you know we actually have to pay a luxury tax because we didn't spend enough money?
Come on.
That's not a joke. That's why the A's the other day, they started spending money, and people were like, what do they care? Because they didn't want to have to pay the luxury tax. The Marlins said, we'll take the luxury tax.
Wow.
Are you sure about that? I had heard that.
I read the article.
Where's Craig Mish when I need him, man?
Yeah.
I don't know, but, you know, the spring training's right around the corner. How are you selling that one with this with all these prospects? Because some of them are going to have to come up and play right away. That you load it up. It had to be a record amount of prospects that you got in the last 6-7 months. From the trades from last year before the trade deadline to now. I mean, they've gotten rid of – and by the way, they've got a pitcher coming back from Tommy John, Alcantara. Don't pitch too well too much, too early, unless you want out. Because that's going to be a lot of prospects right there for sure. If he gets back what he had before. This Jaden Daniels story is so good for football. It was just yesterday we were talking about who's going to be the best quarterback in this draft and who wasn't going to work. And Caleb Williams obviously off to a terrible start. Jaden Daniels has been as good as any rookie quarterback we've ever seen. He's been that good. Running the ball and some of the deep throws he makes. You know, I got to be careful because when C.J. Stroud was a rookie, we said, oh, my God, he's like top 7 or 8 quarterback. And he took a step backwards last year. Whether it's his fault or not, he just didn't look like the same guy. What do you think of Jaden Daniels besides he's been great for football and what he's done for Washington?
I mean, he's lifting up, you know, a franchise that's been such a mess for so long. So I think that in itself is a great story. Like for him to be able to, like you said, you know, rookie season, but this is an incredible run for a franchise that probably doesn't deserve it. But they did a great job landing this kid, and he's so fun to watch, Joe. I mean, I've been so blessed, I guess, this past year. Being able to watch a quarterback like him now doing what he's doing in the NFL playoffs, you know, being a guy who watches every Miami Hurricanes game. I know the Canes fell short of certain expectations, but there was never a boring moment watching Cam Ward.
Great for business this year. Yeah.
Great for business. And you're seeing guys like this and Jaden Daniels, and it's like, man, it's just really increased my joy for watching football. And I can find enjoyment in a number of different ways, Joe, because I can also be old school in that, you know, I love watching great defensive battles and chess matches and stuff, but you give me a dynamic quarterback who can make things happen like that, and I can understand why quarterbacks sell the way that they do, and Daniels is the latest exciting example, and I want to see him in the big game, Joe. I want to see him in the Super Bowl in a few weeks.
Well, that would be unbelievable, and a lot of people will be rooting for that team. And Philly, of course, got the great running game, as about as physical as anybody we have left in these football playoffs right now. Bo Nix, another good story, though. I did not think. I was more wrong about Bo Nix than anybody. I still remember the Bo Nix from Auburn, where he's just every time he throw a pass, I was worried about a cheerleader getting hit by one of the footballs he'd throw. He goes to Oregon, and whatever they did to him in Oregon, he comes in the league, and Denver goes, that's my guy. Yeah. Look how he plays. I thought, he's going to have a rough start. They're going to have to bench him for a while. We're going to go through this whole rookie thing. They stuck him in. He just got better and better. Athletic, can run. What a story that is. By the way, those are just some of the stories we're going to have for you, because when we come back here, we got to get all caught up. But when we come back, we're going to be talking to Brian Baldinger, who was all NFL. We'll get caught up on everything with what's going on in the league. Look at these games coming up. We still have some head coaching jobs. Does anybody want that Jacksonville job? Anybody out there? I'm kidding. There'll be a lot of people take that job, right? I always love when somebody says nobody wants that job. You're like, nah, there's only 32 of those jobs, right? Right, Donald? There's always going to be something. Like, give me that job for 4 years and pay me. And if it doesn't work,
although there is a risk, because you take a head coaching job with a terrible franchise. If they set you up to fail, then maybe it becomes harder to get your next job. So there's going to be people who want it, but maybe not the people they want are going to be the ones lining up for that job.